Did y'all enjoy those lesson this morning with the visuals? Now, I'm not going to go through those again, but I do want to get our mind going down that path. So let me just quickly run through it from here. I got a little help. I've got the images on here where I can look at them again. God's teaching us how to go into revival because things are not going to stay the way they are now. Don't be discouraged. I'm not surprised that God has Alan teaching on discouragement right now, because if you're going to go by what you see, you know, what you feel, your bank account, or probably anything else, you're going to get discouraged. And no wonder he has Alan teaching against that. But our God is the God of hope. And I want you to know right now, hope is the opposite of discouragement. And if you add faith with hope, it'll change your world. Well, he's taken us into the kind of revival that has not been seen on this planet for about 2,000 years, which tells me I'm not surprised that we're learning new things. I expect to learn new things. If I'm still preaching the same thing exactly the way I did 20 years ago, I don't think I'm doing it right. Okay, because otherwise we'd already be in the revival, like Dave says. So I'm excited about where he's going. I'm also excited about how these lessons are coming, because I'm not studying them out. These are not things that I'm Greeking. You know what I mean by that? Greeking and Hebrewing. Which there's nothing wrong with that. That's one method of study. But these things are coming because I've done what Dave taught us, and I assimilate the word and I pray in tongues. And then the Holy Spirit begins teaching. And right now he's doing it by a series of visions. So let me run through the visions real quick, because I don't want to run too long tonight. But in the beginning, I began seeing this image of a candle. And I knew that represented us. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. When Adam was created, his candle was lit. He was created with the light of life. But when he sinned, that light went out. So for 2,000 years, every human born, they had a spirit, they had a candle, but that candle was dark. Jesus is the first man born with his lit candle since the fall of Adam. And glory to God, the gospel is, if you receive Jesus as your Savior, then you receive that same light of life that he was born with. And your candle gets lit. So the first image we have is that lit candle. And it looks kind of weak in the video. I mean, you know, the picture, because it's just a little candle with a little flickering flame. But don't underestimate the power of that candle. Because it's the light of life. It's just that very candle, that new nature on the inside of you that gives you complete and total dominion over sin. Glory to God. Can't teach at length on that. The next vision he began to show me was this. At first I called it a fire tornado, but the more that the visions kept coming, I saw that it was bigger than that. And it dawned on my lightning quick mind one day, he's talking about the pillar of fire. The same Holy Ghost represented as a pillar of fire that led Israel all through the wilderness. And it was a cloud by day and a fire by night, but I knew that's a type of the Holy Ghost. But the image that I had originally to put up, it's just one picture. It's like a static picture. But the Holy Ghost isn't static. He's alive and moving. So I found an image that shows the development of a pillar of fire from small to big. And thank God it had sound with it. I was so glad it had the sound, because it says in Acts 2:4 that there came a sound. I mean, it's not a hallucination. There came a sound as from heaven. And as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. The sound filled the house. Everybody heard it. And when they played that video this morning with that fire thing going, man, you can almost feel the presence and the power of that thing. So we've got to start getting it. That's who lives on the inside of us. I mean, what's cancer compared to that? Come on. Anyway, we'll get there. He's getting us there. So, but then now it says there appeared. Okay, so that was the vision. Then I showed you the vision of the man today, the man on fire. It's not from the movie. This is not the one Denzel was in. But anyway, but see, once if we're really been baptized, if we've been baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, then in the Spirit, now you just look like you. But in the Spirit, you look like that guy, that image of that guy walking and. With fire. If you watch it closely, whatever petroleum, whatever they've got him covered with, every now and then a little fire drips from his fingers. And I like that, because when you lay your hands on the sick, that liquid fire, ooh, it'll burn that whatever sickness right out. Sam, it's gone. I like all that. But then this last one, it's like a single, smaller, could you say, tongue of fire, individual fire, like a little fire, like a personal fire tornado. And with that one in, he opened up the second part of Acts chapter 2 and verse 3, where it says, there appeared. And I don't know why it just stood up. The words just sometimes stand up off the page. It literally appeared. There appeared unto them. Unto them who? 120 people in the room. They not only heard a sound, but there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire. You look up cloven, and all that means is separate and individual. And then these tongues of fire set upon each of them. Now, I'm not Greek in this. I'm not Hebrew in it. I'm not doing it. I'm praying and I'm seeing. What I saw in my spirit resembled that last image we saw today of that more slender looking fire tornado. But what I saw there was 120 people, and each one received a tongue of fire. It's like each one of them individually was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I left out that part this morning that when I saw the candle and I saw the pillar of fire, then I saw the two merge. You remember that? But I could still see the candle inside the fiery. That happened with 120 people individually. And then that got me remembering from Numbers chapter 9, starting in verse 15, how God led the whole nation of Israel with the pillar of fire and or cloud by day, fire by night. If it didn't move, they didn't move. But if it did move, then they all moved. So I did that illustration this morning. Like, okay, you got 1 million people, and they all move in the same direction at the same time, right? If it's not moving, you stay there. But if it is moving, you all move as one in one direction. But see, this is different. None of them were baptized in the Holy Ghost. This is different. This is 120 people each got baptized with their own. It's one Holy Ghost, but they each got baptized individually with a tornado of fire, pillar of fire. They each got baptized, and I saw them not moving as one person in one direction. They were moving as they were led by the Holy Ghost in every direction that He would lead them, having to do with their call. Glory to God. Remember when Jesus, when he got baptized with his pillar, when he got baptized, the very next verse says, and the Spirit led him into the wilderness. So my question is, now who's leading who? He's our example in everything. And the Holy Spirit led him, and he, wherever the Spirit went, that's where he went. He says, I'm understanding better. Well, I don't say anything but what I hear my Father say. I don't do anything except I see what He's doing. He's being led by the Spirit. And we've got our own individual. Well, not our own, see. Each of us have been baptized in the Holy Ghost. We have individual calling. I'll tell you what it reminds me of is our own human bodies. I got all these parts in my body. I got parts you can see and parts you can't see, and I'm glad you can't see them. Pancreas, who wants to see that, you know? Liver, lungs, all that. But all of these parts, they can't copy each other. I thank God my heart doesn't try and do what my lungs do. I mean, but there's only one head. But they're all receiving instruction from the one source, and that is the body of Christ. We've got all these callings, all of these things He wants us to do. There is one head. His name happens to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And I see it so now. I used to be so jealous of the 12. I said, that's no fair, no fair. Time out. They could just walk up and talk to you and find out what you wanted them to do, you know. And I don't. I can't find a book of Gary in here. I've looked and I've looked. I can't find a book of Gary. But trust me, there is a book of Gary. Just like he had an individual mind for the life of Peter, he had an individual mind for the life of John, he has a mind for the life of Gary. He's got a mind for your life. But the difference is it's not in written form. It's in the Holy Ghost. It's really, you could say, in the mind of Christ. But the Holy Ghost is the one that brings you that mind. Now, so let me just reread a little bit of what I said this morning. Acts 2:3, and there appeared to them tongues resembling fire. Oh, and I love that. See, when it comes by revelation like that, see, in the old days, I used to do like Dave talks about. I'd see a difficult verse, wonder what that word means. And I'd go get my Strongs. I wonder what Woost says about that. I get my Woost, my Weeks, and my Strong. Before long, you've got 9 reference books around there, and you still don't know what the verse means. But now it's the exact opposite. I don't do it that way, trying to figure out what the verse means. Now I assimilate, and I pray. And then by revelation, right now by vision. And when it comes, then I go, oh my goodness, if that's really the truth, then this word has to mean that. So when I saw that tongue, that flame on each individual person, like coming and enveloping them, I'm going, you know, if that's really so, there's got to be something in that word set. Because we all seen that picture, at least I did, growing up in church, where there's a little candle flame over each person representing the Holy Spirit, you know. And trust me, no, it was a flame of fire, and they got baptized in that flame. I said, if that's really the Holy Ghost and he's still the same, there's got to be something like he's hovering or brooding or something with them. So when I looked up that word set, and it does mean to sit down, to settle, but it also means, you ready? I about had a running fit. When I looked up the word, it means to hover and to dwell. And it reminded me of Genesis chapter 1, how the Holy Spirit was brooding. And you look it up, it's like a chicken brooding over her eggs, you know. Just, man, I mean, when I saw that, even these feet began to run. I'm telling you, it's amazing. The teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. I recommend these teachings by this up-and-coming young evangelist named Dave Roberson. Anyway. So, Acts 2:3 says, there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were separated. This is the Amplified Version. Which were separated. Let me read it again. There appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, and which settled on each of them. They each, 120 of them, each, a tongue of fire for you, a tongue of fire for you, a tongue of fire for you. And your job now is to be like Jesus. Wherever that fire goes, that's where you go. Wherever that leads, that's where you follow. You got this? I really don't follow anymore. Now you're one. You got this? All right. So there were 120 people. There was a tongue of fire for each one of them. There's only one Holy Ghost. But there were 120 baptisms in the Holy Ghost that day. 100 lit candles now fully immersed in a tongue of fire. Upon each person settled, hovered, and continued this tongue of fire. In the type and shadow of the Old Testament, there was one pillar of fire. And all of Israel moved when it moved. And they all moved collectively. They all moved in the same direction. And they all started and stopped at the same time and place. Okay? But now each person individually had been baptized in the fire of the Holy Ghost. Instead of the whole 120 people having to follow a single pillar collectively, they could each be led into their separate callings individually. The Holy Spirit now lives within you. He leads you individually as you allow Him to. He brings the mind of Christ for your life individually. And just as surely as the Lord had different plans for the life of Peter and the life of John, so He has a plan for your life. There is no book of Gary except the one in the mind of Christ, and I will never have that plan except through fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Your lit candle has been baptized with God the Holy Ghost. You move as He directs you to move. And it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Remember, what about John? What's that to you? Okay. It matters if you are doing what the Lord has called you to do. Okay. Now again, you don't need a telephone call from heaven regarding things He has already written about in a letter, in His written word. I don't need to hear from the Holy Ghost if I find out there's no food or clothing at your house. I already know what to do about that. He wrote me a letter. But when it comes to your calling and His plan for your life, that you can only get from Jesus through time spent with the Holy Ghost. Now, we're going into revival. I'm going to read some, maybe all of it, depends on how much time we have. As I prayed about this, he reminded me of one of the face-to-face documents. This is available for you at the website. You go to GaryCarpenter.org, you go to media, then you see there's this whole section that's got all these different categories, and one of them is face-to-face. If you click on that, we have it in audio form, and we have it in, you can print out these printed documents. This one is called The Highest Order of Reality. And I believe the reason he's bringing this, see, what is the purpose of all this? The purpose of tongues is not tongues. The purpose of fasting is not to get hungry. The purpose of all of this is transformation to the very image of Christ, total submission to Him, finding your place in the body, so that when we go out to work, we're not powerless. We're not limited to what man can do. It releases the Holy Spirit to do what only the Holy Spirit can do. That's revival, and nothing short of that is. And he wants to go a step beyond the gifts. We've had gifts revivals, and they always burn out because of the lack of mortification. There'll be some kind of handle, and pretty soon, just like the one in Lakeland, Florida, in the recent years, just like and so many others, wind up, either sex or money or both, something. Nowadays, it doesn't have to be the opposite sex, but anyway, that's enough. Anyway. So he was teaching me, and listen, anybody can have this. He doesn't speak to me because I'm a teacher or because I'm special or because of any. I'll tell you exactly why these came, because I prayed my lips off, and I did it for years. These came at the ugly building, and I'll tell you, even after these things come, you think, oh, Gary and God, they walk together all the time. Listen, your flesh can thicken right back up. You got to stay in fellowship with Him. I recommend prayer and fasting. And I remember, I'm telling you, the ignorance of Christians regarding the Word, I am just stunned. People don't read the Word. Now, come on. You can't swallow so much of this stuff and stand there and tell me you read your Bible. You are a liar. This false stuff that's out there, Sue and I was talking about this today. Listen, that Word is food for your spirit. Listen, I used to do concrete work. I know what it is to work hard. I mean, work to the point of exhaustion, even as a young man. And, you have not lived until you've poured concrete in Oklahoma on a 105-degree day. Now, you earned your bread that day, okay? And come in and just feel like there's nothing left. And then, glory to God, on the dinner table there's fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, glory to corn on the cob with butter already on it. I mean, you start eating that food and you can literally feel strength come back into you. That is the way the Word of God is to your spirit. I mean, just reading the Word, even if you're not praying, but I recommend praying, just eat my words. He says they're life to you. My words, they are life. And man, I get back into it. I don't know how people can live and not be in the Word. I get in that Word. I get lost in it. Dave would talk about his tea getting cold during worship. Man, that happens with me in the Word. Didn't I just make that cup of hot coffee? How did it get cold? I recommend the Word of God to you. Okay. Now, if I start running, I don't think we're going to run out of time. I'm going to literally read this. I had some highlighted sections that I wanted to be sure and get across. But I believe we're going to have time to just read it all. Now, I am going to comment along if he allows. This one is called The Highest Order of Reality. It came to me on September 1st, 1998, praying in the Holy Ghost, doing what Dave said over at the ugly building for years, praying in tongues, stopping, listening, hearing the tongues within me. They would fade out. Do it again, do it again, do it again, not days, not weeks, not months, but years. And then one time I did that, and it wasn't tongues. It was English. And I just grabbed a little recorder that I had, and I began to speak into it. Later I transcribed it, and that's what this is. Anybody can... Listen, and I don't want to leave the impression... Yes, sir. Okay. I don't want to leave the impression that you have to pray for weeks, months, and years to ever hear the voice of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is going to grab a hold of something because it's going to rock your religious world just a little bit. The Holy Ghost can speak to unborn again people. What you said. Yeah, he can too. Sure he does. Every person he ever spoke to in the Old Testament was an unborn again person. Come on. He speaks to people all the time. Now, that's not the same as being filled with the Holy Ghost, being baptized. And there's a big difference there, okay? But as far as the Holy... He is a person. He can... What? He's not powerful enough to speak to the soul of an unsaved man? Come on. Yeah, he can too. So, what I'm telling you, you can hear from him. And I mean before you get home tonight. Okay? All right. But I do recommend praying for weeks, months, and years. Pray till it happens, what I'm saying. Get in the Word. It greatly helps, assists His ministry if you'll do your part, like David's taught us, and get the Word in you, especially the New Testament. Get the New Testament in you, and then pray in other tongues. Okay. So I was minding my own business. I was doing what I'm supposed to be doing, praying, listening, and then he began to speak, and I recorded it. And here it is. So that day he said to me, now this is the Holy Spirit speaking. Sometimes it'll be the Father, I'll just tell you now. Sometimes the Father, sometimes it's the Lord Jesus. You can tell by the context. But this time it's the Holy Spirit. Because he says the highest order of reality is when the Spirit of the living God is loosed in the name of Jesus Christ to reorder the material realm according to the original intent and purpose of the will of the Father. True ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ are those whose thinking is elevated above the ways of man. They have entered into that realm of the Spirit to flow with the mind of the Spirit, to reorder all things by the Spirit. Of those who are ministering in the name of Jesus Christ upon the earth, I have few who understands these things, says the Spirit of grace. Now, here's a sentence that'll rock your world. Understand that no true ministry has been achieved until I am loosed. Did you hear that? Either by your faith or the faith of the people to manifest the will of the Father, which is in the mind of Jesus Christ. In the most simple terms, the ministry of Jesus Christ in the flesh was to minister the will of the Father to the people by the Spirit of the living God, who is the hand of the Father outstretched. Isn't that right? All of his teaching and all of his preaching was directed toward this end result, that their faith be increased to receive the will of the Father by the moving of the Spirit. This is still the ministry of Jesus Christ through all the ministers in human flesh whom he calls. Teaching alone, which does not direct the people toward faith, that they may receive the will of the Father by the hand of the Spirit in their lives, is void of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Even when teaching those things that are milk, the end result is to eventually point the people to their Father and cause them to understand that it is by the Father's Spirit through the name of Jesus Christ, that they may receive all that the Father has for them. Teaching that does not direct the people onto that path is teaching which is void of the mind of Christ. Let me interject something. Of course, years and years before I heard this from the Holy Spirit, this just confirms one of the main reasons I've always had such high esteem for Pastor Dave. Pastor Dave, he never wanted you to follow him. He never tried to become your Lord. He never tried, you got to go to Dave to get your answers. You got to go to Dave to get... No. Dave was always pointing us towards the Holy Spirit. always pointing us to Jesus, always pointing us to the Father. He wasn't trying to maintain any type of lordship or control over us. He was just trying to train us up where we could hear the God for ourselves and follow Him. Amen? Boy, I admire that. All right, back to this lesson. Milk is that which has been pre-digested by the teachers. Milk will all... You know what milk is? I mean, Mama... Okay, I'm not going to take a cow. I'll take Mama. Mama eats her vegetables and eats good food. Her body produces milk for her baby. And isn't what milk for the baby, isn't that food that's been pre-digested by the mama? Well, that's what milk is in the body of Christ. It's teaching that's already been digested, and we give it to you as simply as we know how. And he says milk will always be necessary for the body. There will always be the young to be instructed. But get this, true ministers of the gospel, little by little, teach and train the flock to sit and receive from the Father themselves by the ministry of the Spirit as they come into ever closer union with the mind of Christ. The present order of reality. Oh, now listen to this, boy. Remember Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You know, the Bible calls the devil the god of this world. So here's all these people in all kinds of bondage, sickness, blindness, lameness, whatever it is. And Jesus come to set them free. Isn't that right? Listen to this. The present order of reality, which is imposed upon the people by the God of this world, is certainly not the will, nor the mind of the Father which is in heaven. For this purpose He sent His Son, to bring to nothing the reign, that R-E-I-G-N, of him who usurps, and to make the kingdom of light available to all who would choose the Lamb as their king. True ministry brings forth the will of the Father to reorder this present reality, to restore it to the highest order of reality. And I can't even say these words without seeing the hula hoop ministry. Remember the hula hoop message? My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We're like those people that are trapped in a two-dimensional world, and they have no concept of height or depth. And so if you lay a hula hoop there, these little creatures can't get past the hula hoop. They can't go over it. They can't go under it because they have no concept of that in their world. But us being a three-dimensional creature, we would see their dilemma. We just reach down and get them and pick them up, which they would disappear. Set them down on the other side of the hula hoop and they'd reappear. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle. And we're going, duh. I mean, for us, it's like nothing. And that's what it is with God. We're living in this three-dimensional realm where, ooh, cancer, ooh, bad stuff, ooh. And it's about as hard for Him as it would be for us to lift a little creature over the hula hoop. It's nothing. And that's the truth. This is not the truth. Where He's from is the truth. Truth changes facts. Okay. Trying to teach and not preach. But anyway. I can't. When I read this now, see, I didn't have the hula hoop message when He gave me this. But now I've got the hula hoop message, and I can't read this without thinking, glory to God, He's talking about the hula hoop. Because my understanding is so much better than it was then. You know, in the fourth, this is just mathematics, okay? This is just pure mathematics. If we had a fourth dimension, did you know mathematically they can prove this real easy? If you needed to have your appendix taken out, if someone from the fourth dimension came, did you know they could remove it without opening you up? Only B got that. Serious. No, they could remove it and never cut you. I want some of that. Isn't that right? I mean, mathematically they know that. Well, here's some more mathematics for you. For the universe to exist the way it does, and I'm not a mathematician, I just read. Mathematically, they know there is at least 11 dimensions. Wonder where God lives. Wonder how many dimensions. Wonder how hard it is for Him to do this stuff that we call impossible. It's not hard. He's trying to elevate us to there, see? Okay. I got to say it again. The present order of reality, our little three-dimensional world, which is imposed upon the people by the God of this world, is certainly not the will nor the mind of the Father which is in heaven. For this purpose He sent His Son, to bring to nothing the reign of him who usurps, and to make the kingdom of light available to all who would choose the Lamb as their king. True ministry brings forth the will of the Father to reorder this present reality. Now that's revival, people. You hear me? To restore it to the highest order of reality, which is the mind of Christ and the will of the Father that He originally intended and purposed for man. Nothing is impossible for those who can believe this, says the Spirit of grace. I believe I'm speaking to people who can believe this. Nothing is impossible for true ministers of the Spirit who will, now get this, who will hearken to my counsel and will obey my instructions without question. When Jesus got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and the devil, I don't know if there was a conversation involved or not. The devil's waiting out there in the wilderness. Maybe Jesus could see him. This is just, allow me a moment. Which way are we going, Holy Ghost? Oh, well, here's Jerusalem. I just got crowned king. God just told me, let's go to Jerusalem. Hallelujah, the king has come. Over there's the devil. He's waiting to tempt me. Where are we going, Holy Ghost? And we're going out here to face the devil. Right there we'll see who you're following. You see this? Okay. Nothing is impossible for true ministers of the Spirit who will hearken to my counsel and will obey my instructions without question. These are those who offer their will as a sacrifice upon the altar of His life within them. In other words, Jesus goes, okay, we're going to go face the devil. If that's where you say we're going, let's go. If that's where the cloud is moving, I'm in the cloud, let's go. For there are no limits as I manifest the will of the Father through the life of Christ in them. Never accept ACCEPT. Never accept present reality as being the Father's reality. The Father's reality is manifested in Jesus Christ. This is what He meant when He said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus Christ is the will of the Father in action. And again, I say to you, never accept present reality as being the Father's reality. I have been sent for the express purpose. Here's the Holy Ghost. Why are you here, Holy Ghost? Why are you in my belly? Why are you on this earth? I have been sent for the express purpose of manifesting the highest order of reality as you yield to my instructions, which I bring from the very throne of the Lamb. God, sorry, my feet. They're wanting to take off. Holy Ghost is everywhere at once. He's at the throne of the Lamb. He hears, He knows exactly the plan for Gary. And He's come. He said, now if you listen to me, I just came from the throne, Gary. I know the very next thing you need to do. Now here it is. And He tells me, and it scares me half to death. And I go, no. That's too scary. No. Pray some more. Fast some more. Die some more, son. Till you'll come to where you obey what I say. Anyway. Next paragraph. I will say it another way for your mind's sake. Unless I move, ministry has not taken place. Present reality cannot be restored to the Father's reality except by the operation of the Spirit of the living God. Now, plain English, the little critter that can't get over the hula hoop, the little two-dimensional creature, it's impossible, there's nothing he can't give his way out of that situation, he can't pray his way out of that situation, he can't fast his way out of that situation, he can't believe his way out of that situation, because unless somebody from another world comes and lifts him over, no ministry has taken place. That's what he's saying. Can you get it now? You getting it? And the Holy Spirit is the one from that other realm. And he's going, that's what I'm here for. I do these things, but I can't do them unless I can get you to co-labor with me. I have instructions from the throne. I'm just fresh from the throne, if you'll allow me. And I know exactly what to do. But you've got to hear me. And then you got to obey what I say. And sometimes it's scary as all get out to the natural man. That's why 4-year-old Alan has to die. And I hope you know what I mean by that. I know I'm going to get letters. Who in the world is 4-year-old Alan? Write the letter. We'll tell you. I'll point you to the right messages. You'll be okay. Unless I move, Holy Spirit says, ministry has not taken place. Present reality cannot be restored to the Father's reality except by the operation of the Spirit of the living God. The finest efforts of man will never restore present reality to the highest order of reality. This change can only be accomplished by the Spirit of the living God. The hula hoop messages helped me so much to understand what he meant by that. Okay. Now, get this. Here we go. Practical. You want practical? I cannot move where my instructions are not heard. Don't you wish there was a church? Oh, if I could only hear God. I tell everyone when they first come, you know, what's your problem? My problem, Brother Gary, I can't hear God. Okay, epoxy your britches here in a chair. Listen to these messages by Dave Roberson. Do what he says. Pray in tongues till your lips roll off on the floor. I'll come visit you in 6 months. I come back in 6 months. Brother Gary, I have a problem. It's a bigger problem than I had before. Well, I remember your problem before was you couldn't hear God. What's your problem now? Oh, my problem now? I heard God. And you're not going to believe what he told me to do. And I'm going, yeah, I probably will too. Because he believes all things are possible. And he's wanting to do things that are bigger than you. Things you know you can't do yourself. Am I preaching okay? Somebody said glory. No, that's Nathan. I'm sorry. But I know why he says it. I cannot move where my instructions are not heard. Okay. We'll get that. You do what Dave says, you will get past that problem. Then you got this one. I cannot move where my instructions are heard, yet not obeyed. Hear me this day, says the Spirit of grace. The Lamb, and I believe he's saying this to each and every one of us, the Lamb is calling you to become expert at hearing my voice and to yield your will upon the altar of his life, which has been imparted unto your spirit. In other words, not my will, Lord, but yours, but thine be done. Hear my voice. Obey my instruction, that I may move on behalf of those where he sends you, that the Father's order of reality can be manifested in their lives by his hand outstretched, which is the Spirit of the living God who is now speaking unto you. Isn't that something? Hear me and obey me. This is why the Lamb spoke to you and said he has not called you to minister to the people yourself. I remember when that happened. That's an earlier lesson. He has called you to be the vessel through whom he can minister to the people himself by me, says the Spirit of grace. The life he imparted to you is the life upon which I exercise dominion to restore the highest order of reality for every man. Without him, you can do nothing. We all know that scripture, right? But listen to this. Without me, you will never have his mind. Did you get that? You'll never know. You'll always be wondering. What am I called to? What should I be doing? Where should I be going? What should I be doing? When should I do it? Without him, you can do nothing. But without me, the Holy Spirit says, you'll never have his mind. Hear and obey the instructions that I bring to you from his mind. And as you hearken and obey these instructions without question, I shall be loosed to reorder every situation to the highest order of reality, which is the will of the Father. Okay. Most ministers think they have been called by Christ to instruct man to change his ways by the energy of the will of man. This is religion. This is the way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. Christ calls no such ministers. There is no change from one realm of reality to the Father's reality without the moving of the Spirit of the living God. True ministers of the gospel minister the Spirit and train those who receive the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus to hear the voice of the Spirit of the living God, that they may receive counsel and instruction from the Lamb. As they receive these instructions and obey, these instructions always involve the moving of the Father's Spirit to reorder their reality to conform to His will. Again, I say to you, there is no reordering of reality without the moving of the Father's Spirit. Then he quotes, "Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." Now get this. This paragraph changed my life. Still changing my life. It says, you're having difficulty receiving the instructions that come from the mind of Christ. Then he tells me why. Is anyone else in here going to fess up that they sometimes have trouble receiving instructions from the mind of Christ? I'm in the right church. I just want to make sure. So he's getting on you as much as he's getting on me here. You are having difficulty receiving the instructions that come from the mind of Christ, in part because you are expecting them to come in a manner in which they shall not come. As I have spoken previously to you, when His instructions come, they come in such a manner that they release me to remove the burden from your shoulders. His instructions come in such a manner that the power of the Spirit of God is loosed to solve the problems. You are still expecting His instructions to come in a manner that will cause you to move. But His instructions come in such a manner that they allow me to move, says the Spirit of grace. Boy, if we ever get that. It's freedom. And it totally takes the responsibility off of you. Except to do what He says. But all the power belongs to Him. That's why He gets all the glory too, by the way. He says, simply continue to sit and listen to my counsel. You will receive these instructions. These instructions are being spoken even now to your spirit as you yield time in prayer to me. But your mind has not yet moved into the Lamb's room of fellowship. Remember all the teachings we did about the Holy of Holies, and while you're praying in tongues, your spirit is the one in there, and the finely dressed gentleman at the chalkboard is the Holy Ghost, and he's communicating all this information to your spirit, but your soul is sitting in a chair outside the Holy of Holies, you know. It's wondering what, it's all dumb, you know, don't know what's going on in there. But eventually, see, your spirit begins communicating those mysteries to your mind. Now, here's a promise. Your mind, at this moment, is still in the room of man. Can I say outside the veil? Outside the curtain? But understand, I am taking you into the Lamb's room of fellowship. Few enter this room. It's a different realm of operation from the carnal mind. The mind has difficulty receiving instruction in this room. Hear me now, says the Spirit of grace. Your mind, I think he's saying this to every one of us. Even your carnal mind shall shortly be in this room of fellowship with the Lamb. I am moving you there with every hour you give me. I'm going to say it again. There is no such thing as a wasted hour praying in other tongues. You hear me? Be encouraged to know this. Once your mind has tasted the instruction that comes in this room, you will have entered upon a higher walk and a higher path that you will never step down from all the days of your life. Once you have tasted the new wine of fellowship and communication that is available in this room, you will reject the old wine as being bitter, useless, and to be forsaken. I spoke the truth to you when I said you will come out of this room a changed man. People will find you hard to comprehend. For even as your mind is transformed to the mind of the Spirit, those who are limited to carnal thinking will have trouble understanding the mind of the Spirit when you speak. And I'm going to run out of time. I have this trouble already with all my Baptist relatives. I have had for a long time. You probably have too. You know, we're believing for this and we're standing for that. And they're going, we'll just have a rummage sale. I mean, it's always a natural solution to everything. You know, I've been diagnosed with this. Well, you should do this. And I'm going, well, the Spirit of God told me to do that. Who? What? They don't get it at all. See? What would they say to you if you said, if you're out in a boat and you say, I see Jesus and he's told me to come walk to him on the water. What are they going to tell you? And I mean your religious friends that are in the boat with you. You nuts, you crazy. But Peter was the one hearing God. Amen? All right. Okay. Now he's saying some things here about my gift and the teaching, what my part in the body. Okay. There's really no point in reading that. You got to get in there and find out your part. Okay. But he gave me some instructions. Okay. Okay. Let's finish with this. He says, observe the ministry of Jesus Christ in the flesh. He's talking about the four Gospels. When he had concluded his ministry in any area and had moved on to the next area, what do you find in his wake? Do you find people who were merely taught but not helped by their father? No. You find the moving of the Spirit in every location where his ministry brought forth the will of the Father to reorder present reality to the highest order of reality. In other words, the blind saw, the lame walked, the deaf heard, devils got cast out, unclean spirits got cast out. Oh, he says that the lepers were cleansed, the dead were raised, the hearts of sinners were turned toward the Father. Devils were cast out, parents, lunatic children were restored to them whole, the blind saw and the deaf heard. In every location, the ministry of Jesus Christ produced the moving of the Spirit of the living God, who is the hand of the Father outstretched. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ in you. The life he has imparted to you is the life which I anoint with dominion to manifest the will of the Father everywhere you shall go. Not only in services, talking to me, but in every encounter, talking to you, but in every encounter, as you continually are aware of my presence, as you continually hear my voice, see my visions, and comprehend my revelations to you, the results of the moving of the Spirit shall be in your wake also, says the Spirit of grace. In the last sentence, unless the Spirit of the living God is moved, there has been no ministry, says the Lord. Is that good stuff or what? Don't you wish there was a church where you could learn on purpose and put into practice simple instructions that will take you from a position of not being able to hear his voice to being able to hear his voice? That's the easier part of the equation. The harder part is once you've heard him, being dead enough, or let's say trusting enough to obey him. And that's a whole other fight. But that's called mortification. That's called edification. And we're at the right church. He hasn't been teaching us all of these. I'll tell you, I'm more excited. I am. Lord, I got to live another 30 years. Because I don't want to just barely get in the end of this and then go home. I want to minister this for like 25, 30 years. Amen. We got a world to save out there. Glory to God. Or more. Well, that would make me 99. I don't know. Anyway. anyway, we'll see. Okay. Maybe more. Okay. They love me back there. So, are y'all excited about this? Say it with me. Say, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I've been baptized in fire. One of those tongues of fire is mine. It has been separated unto me. It is hovering on me. I and that fire move together all the time. And the Holy Ghost works miracles through me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right.